Adjustment of clause.
Okay, let's bring this meeting to order. This is the April 21st, 2015 Conservation, Newburyport Conservation Commission in the Council Chambers. This meeting is being recorded. First item on the agenda is the approval of the meeting minutes for March 3rd, 2015. Comments, suggested changes, anything? Motion?
Move to approve.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, all the new business. First is Newburyport Yacht Club, Paul Richards in the diesel spill.
For the record, I'm Tom Hughes with Hughes Environmental Consulting. I'm here with John DiFilippo from the Yacht Club. So on April 15th, there was a small diesel spill when one of the, I guess the bilge pump in one of the boats started pumping diesel out onto the ground in this area here. Immediately, the Yacht Club notified an LSP, the fire department, the Coast Guard. There's a small sheen in the river that was quickly cleaned up through the use of booms that were placed across here and here, and there was an area of stained surface soil and a gravel area. The stain went up to about between 3 and 4 feet from the wetland line. As soon as they got the booms out, got everything under control on site to be able to take a breath, they gave me a call. I went out, put two wetland flags up on either side of the stain area to give them a kind of target area that if they got within a foot or so of that, that they should not contact me and I'd be on site while they did the excavation to remove the contaminated soil. They also notified Julia about the incident going on. So you can see right here is the stain. You can see an oil boom that was placed at the limit of the stain here. You take a look where that brick is. That brick ends up being just about 2 feet off this wet line. There's the same brick, boom hasn't moved, and here's the excavated soils. The way they do this is they dig up the diesel and they use on-site device detection measure for volatile organics. And when they get down below detection or to certain levels, they stop, they take soil samples, and they send them off. And so where we are right now, I don't know if you can see them, but there's these little white flags. One of the flags is actually somewhere in here. It's almost invisible. I can't even see it. That might be a shadow right there. But they took a soil sample at the closest point to the wetland. Soil samples in the other spots, a number of other spots here, and are waiting now to ensure that the site is actually clean. In the meantime, this is an area that is right next to their boat ramp. It's also an area that during the highest tides gets inundated a little bit. So instead of hay bales for erosion control, I consulted with AMEC, who is the company with the LSP that worked with NPRO on the cleanup, and we agreed on a gravel berm, a clean gravel berm placed along, which provides better erosion control when you're talking about an area that's being inundated with the tides. And during the rainstorms, the LSP has been on site, ensuring there's no sheen. I've been out there a couple times. No visible sheen in any of the water that's there. In fact, I see more of a sheen in the parking lots downtown than you see out there right now. So the plan right now is to wait for the soil samples to come back. Then the areas can be restored to previous condition with gravel placed. And I'll be documenting after that's done to make sure that there's nothing that makes it past the flags or past the old line of gravel. So Julia just asked me to come and give you guys an update. But you know, I have to say, not all of my clients would have reached out and called a wetland scientist and all this, and the Yacht Club thought of doing that. So I think it was good when they thought about the marsh and they were looking not to harm it.
Good. So did Julia show an emergency?
She did not feel that one was
No.
Was needed at the time, and this thing is sort of highly regulated under the DEP guidelines, the MCP for cleanup. There's an LSP involved who's delegated some of the DEP authority. Coast Guard, Fire Department were all there. So, you know, I have to defer to what Julia decided, but we treated it like it was a permanent activity, and we've been out there keeping an eye on it, making sure there's nothing going to happen to the marsh or to the river.
So right now you're waiting for test results to come back?
Yeah, the soil samples have been taken, and they take up to a week to get back. I believe they were taken last Thursday.
So if they find that there's exceeded limits, they're going to have to go back and...
They'll have to excavate further. I think it's unlikely, given the fact that you're not seeing a machine in the water that is in there at the high tide, but that is a possibility. And I certainly think that if we have to go closer to the marsh, that we would contact Julia and see at that time whether she thinks an emergency service necessary or additional follow-up with you guys. And I envision when it's all done, I'll take some photographs and I'll send a final report in to you guys to just document what happened, what was done.
Tom, during the excavation and cleanup process, were they able to complete that prior to inundation by the next high tide, or did a high tide come in during that time period?
There was a tide that came in. I don't believe it was a really high tide that came in during that time.
No, it was only an 8.2 tide, so it came up the ramp, but it didn't go over that. We need a 9.3 tide to get over to that area.
Right. But prior to that, the area was isolated with a berm put in place that eventually was replaced by the clean gravel berm. So they did put a berm in there, and they had the two booms, so that had the tide got in, the you know, any diesel would have been floating would have been trapped on the booms.
Next item on the agenda is an informal discussion with John Eric White, the city engineer, about the relocation of the underground culverts on the waterfront.
Thanks for giving me this time. And as Joe said, the city engineer, John Eric White. I realize that Julia presented this at the last meeting, just for a quick presentation to see if it warranted an RDA or a full NOI. She did get back to me saying that the NOI would be needed, and I wasn't able to attend, so I wasn't sure how much information she gave. So my request coming here tonight was to see if we can get away with an RDA. And I understand that we probably can't. So I'll give you the presentation, and I understand that it'll probably be a full NOI. My biggest concern with the NOI was just the timing and waiting for the MESA filing for the Bald Eagles. I'm sure they'll come back negative, but the delay might, you know, it's a disadvantage to have a delay. But if you remember, this culvert itself, it runs from Merrimack Street. This is the old Davis Auto Parts, and it's the location of the proposed alehouse. And the existing, here's the police station back here. The existing drain line picks up the Green Street drainage and goes underneath these buildings all the way out to, there's a manhole right by the Black Cow, and then there's an existing outfall. So it's all parking, paved parking. And, you know, if an RDA was a possibility, we could have all the conditions be in the RDA. Because essentially, I want to do what we have to do anyways. It's really the timing with the whole thing, with the filing. Because the alehouse is under construction. They encountered it pretty late. They encountered a culvert underneath the building pretty late in the game. Whether they knew it or not is kind of irrelevant, but they designed around it, and I sat down with the mayor about a month and a half ago, and she gave me the go-ahead to come up with a design plan to reroute the drain line. What we're going to do is we're going to reroute it first, connect to the existing manhole by the plateau, and abandon the culvert second. And the abandonment, here's the proposed route. So we're going to connect to this drain manhole right there, right by the boat ramp. And the other reason, the project started because of the alehouse, but it actually ended up working out well. If you guys share these, it ended up working out well because the I went underground inspecting the culvert, and you can just share. Look at them. I didn't bring it up. Sorry. The culvert's in really bad shape. So these pictures are just to give you a rough idea. It's really just shows the importance of the need to relocate the culvert. The worst condition is actually this line right here. This one's actually the worst. And if you look at the title of each page, each set of photos are from a different video camera underground. And if you look at the one from the black, if you look at the one from the excavation, the first one, and you flip through towards the end of them, these two buildings, there's actually a timber ceiling supported up. There's a timber ceiling supporting it. So some areas will have to open excavate, and some areas we're going to fill with concrete. So this area here where the alehouse is, they're going to remove the floor slab. So all this will be open excavation, remove the brick, and then backfill with a good structural material so they can build their building. The area underneath the Brown's Wharf building, we're going to throw in some concrete. And then the area in front of the Hudson building, it's going to be half open excavation, removing the timbers, and then half of it we're going to fill with flowable fill or just a lightweight concrete. And then this is all going to be open excavation, only because there's so many other utilities, it's ready to collapse. And any future utilities that go through, I'd rather just get rid of it and then backfill. So all that said, if you can allow us to do an RDA with conditions, we can put plenty of conditions in the plan and, on the drawings. Because at the end of the day, we're going to do the same thing whether we have a full NOI or not. But jurisdictionally, if you could do that, that would help us out. If you can't, I understand. The next question would be, jurisdictionally, if we can proceed before we hear back from the state on the Bald Eagle, because it's a parking lot. They may not, and I'm not sure. It wouldn't surprise me if they require us to wait, obviously, because they don't want the locals to all of a sudden become experts. If there was something jurisdictionally that we could advance without waiting for them. The last time we filed for the roundabout, they were actually pretty good. So, maybe I'm getting a little bit too excited. They replied within 2 months, I think. They weren't too bad.
They might be more concerned about the sturgeon than the bald eagle.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
But seeing that I'm here, and there's a little bit more detail in front of you, whether we do the RDA or the NOI, if you have any questions, I can make sure that we address them early.
You're going to do the putting in of the new culvert system
first.
First.
That's correct.
And then you're going to just fill fill in the old?
Correct. And what we'll do is we'll start from the downstream end. Put in a new manhole that can, there's a possibility that we can put a manhole that can handle both pipes. It's functioning the inverts. If we can do that, we can keep this active. Put in the manhole that can accept both pipes, build this, and then block this off on a dry forecast in a few days, make this final connection and then reroute it. Once all the flow is rerouted, we aren't gonna abandon this until like the fall, because there's no rush, and I'm working with the structural engineer to make sure we do it right. We don't want any problems with the building. This has to be done right away, and that's easy. He's gonna remove the floor slab, like I said. So it's remove the pipe first. And the biggest issue with this is the soils in the area. Mr. Vine knows all about that. And dealing with the tide. You know, dealing with the tide is always gonna be tricky. So I wanna come up with some, you know, I wanna put, you know, even the LSP's comment about a gravel berm here. Installation of manhole is usually measured, you know, it's a large one like that, it'll be a day, but usually it's in a half a day time frame. So we should be able to do that within one cycle, but in the event that we can't, tide cycle, in the event that we can't, I want to make sure that we actually help prevent the high tide from coming up. This is around elevation six to seven. So it's a function of how high the tide is. I'm sure plenty of you have been down there and you see some straw like in this general area at the top of the ramp. So that's our biggest, this is my biggest concern, number one, and then number two is the soil, especially from how stable they are structurally. I might have to provide some additional support for the manholes, which I'm not too happy about, but we're doing borings this week, and we're gonna do a couple, one here, to see if we can support these structures.
With those borings, are you also checking for contaminated soil?
We'll have the ability to. We'll take samples. And I was contemplating sending to an LSP right away, but the way even LSPs work is they'll, if there's an odor, you know. So if we smell it, we will. But what we anticipate more is the fly ash or the coal ash, you know, a lot of organics, timbers, stuff like that.
So what's the public interest stake here that would suggest we should go with an RDA? The Newburyport public interest.
The Newburyport public interest is, it's a combination of trying to get the construction before the tourist season hits, you know, full bore. And any delays on this, we don't want to get into any kind of negative dealings with the developer there where they feel that we're holding them up. Because, you know, that's just something that I don't even want to touch.
I get the tourist season issue as a public interest. I'm not sure I get the accommodating the developer part of it.
If they have any leg to stand on as far as having us hold up their construction. Because, of, you know, we met with them like in November, December. And once I met with the mayor, got the plans together, I mean, it takes time. You know, we had a tough winter with the blizzard.
No.
That took me away for like a month. So, is that high on the list? No, it's not high on the list. So I almost, Joe flipped me an email, said that you guys did decide to do an NOI last time, and it'll probably remain that way.
Well, we discussed it, we didn't decide anything.
Okay.
It's, you know, we
still open.
It's, we didn't have any input from you on that, on this, so it's, you know, leave it up to consensus of the commission as to what they think.
Now, we did, last year, we did, they were supposed to be doing some draft warnings in the, not right there where you're working out, but in that, in the other part of the parking lot, to check for soil, when they were thinking of putting a couple of buildings on those.
Yeah, the, talk about the Harbor Master?
Not the Harbor Master one, just.
No, the NRA.
Yeah, the NRA.
Okay.
And did they get any results back in any of those soil testing?
Do not know. Do not know. The way this whole year, and I'm, every foot is different.
Oh, I know. I know, I'm just wondering if we get any information as to.
I do not know. I do not know.
You should contact Frank Viteri at GZA. He was the one who did the sample program for the NRA.
I contacted a gentleman from GZA. It wasn't him, but he gave me soil borings for existing borings from more towards the bulkhead.
Yeah, that's probably
not the NRA project. I can get those.
Yeah.
So I guess if you could, you know, if we could discuss any issues that you folks might have, and whether or not you feel the RDA would be acceptable if we submit it with all the conditions that we would normally have, or if we just go through with an NOI.
Well, when you're doing the construction, say, of the new culvert system, are you going to be opening up a piece of the ground, putting in the culvert, closing it up, then moving on to the next chunk? You know, how long will anything be open?
This area is short of amount of time as possible, and the only time we would plate it, we'd backfill the majority of the time. So for this manhole, we anticipate, say, a day or two on that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on a good day, for certain size pipe, you know, you can do a couple hundred feet a day. You know what I mean? So this is not going to be a couple hundred feet a day because of the tide, and we get that.
Right.
So, you know, if they can install this segment here, you know what I mean, or even half of that in a day, they're going to backfill whatever they finish, mm-hmm. okay? And plate the last opening just so they get access to it the next day.
Right.
So, working from here up, once they backfill, you know, we can put, we'll have erosion control, but as far as, you know, sheet flow from the parking lot, it'll be just the trench width. And if we keep it slightly, you know, slightly depressed, there won't be that much erosion coming off, and we'll have erosion control as well. And then as soon as they do a fair stretch and it's backfilled properly, we could even do intermittent paving for the trench, just to make it easy for.
Yeah. Well, I think my concern was, is, you know, that if we were to go the route of the just determination, that you know, the two big problems on this project are going to be siltation into the river, and but if you're closing up every day, that lessens that.
That lessens that.
Yeah. The other one is what we're going to find in the soils.
Yeah.
One thing we lose, I think, with the RDA approach is the opportunity to have the abutters have an opportunity to hear it. And I don't know how many abutters there are. This clearly isn't all city property, right?
Correct. Oh, correct. Oh, yeah. So no, this is Waterfront Trust property. We're working with them because we're going working with them.
How about the building side where the alehouse property, that's a private development?
Yep. Right? So we're working with the alehouse owner. I'm working with Dave. I've already met with Dave Murphy. He's the owner of the Browns Wharf building, and also NED owns this property here, actually all the way from the river to a line right here, the Hudson building where the chamber is located, and all this is owned by NED. We met with them Those are, you know, those are the immediate butters. So the other butters are, there are some parcels back here. This way, it's the same people I just said. It's the NRA and Waterfront Trust. Well, I didn't mention the NRA, but those are quasi-public. And then over here, this building owner here. So there's probably a dozen, you know, total.
No, it just, to me, it sets a difficult precedent for us. This number of abutters, it's a major project. There's endangered species concerns. You know, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, we appreciate the time frame issue,
yep.
But it's a good sized project, and you know, if any of the abutters wanted to do something like that, or any private entity wanted to do something like that, there's no doubt it'd be an NOI.
Yeah, and that's fine, because I wasn't ready to submit anything anyways, and I figured I'd just meet and see what. So while I'm here, before we even prepare the, is there any comments that you might? Any requests that you have for us to add to the plans now before we submit?
Some type of detail. You're going to excavate, and hopefully you can use that for your backfill, but there's a lot of chance that it won't be suitable, at which point you'd have to put it someplace.
Yep.
You'd have to keep it out of the tidal areas.
Carpet. Yep.
So I guess there's a lot of detail there, at least to set what conceivably is going to happen.
And that I'm already anticipating to put in the cost that we're going to haul this stuff away. So what we're going to do is, we can have stockpile areas temporary with hay bales at the bottom and all that. If they remain overnight, we'll tarp it, that type of thing. But we're anticipating hauling it away.
Okay.
And preferably have them haul it right away, just go straight to a truck and then get rid of it. Because we already know that the soil is not gonna be that great. It's just a matter of where it gets hauled to.
Yeah.
If it's clean, we go down to our own yard. But with a large diameter pipe, we're displacing an awful lot of soil. So we gotta get rid of it anyways. So
you've done all the underground camera investigation you need to do to determine there aren't any more branch culverts coming into this?
We've addressed, that's correct. Yeah, no, there's a couple of this one here, which, and that's actually pretty big. There's a catch basin back here. And then there's a couple old pipes coming out of the buildings.
Where does that go?
They're abandoned. They used to be the sewer, sanitary sewer.
Okay.
Like way back in the day. So those are abandoned because they rerouted the sanitary out back. And
so you're showing everything that's active on your...
Everything that's active, we're going to keep active. And all the other ones, it's already shown on the plan, you just can't see it. But we're going to abandon any of those other smaller pipes that are not active. Yep.
How deep is the pipe going to be installed then?
I just need to keep a couple feet minimum, 2 to 3 feet minimum here.
Cover?
Yep, for cover. I don't want to have too great of a velocity of the flow inside. So, it varies from this one here, the rim is 13, and the invert out is 3.5. So, this is 10 feet right here. So 10 feet, but then it gets narrow there. This is the worst. And down here, this one here is, I'm trying to keep the invert in much higher than the invert out for many reasons, just so we don't have constant tidal, confluent coming in.
Who's going to do the drilling for you that says coming next week?
I forgot.
They doing hollow stem augers, or are they doing direct push, or do you know?
They will probably do, once they get through the pavement, they'll probably do, with this type of material, they'll probably do the augers.
My only reason I'm doing that is that, we're having a schedule for one day.
Yeah.
You know, I would recommend that, you know, you get the most bang for your buck and along your proposed alignment, to have them do is, they should be able to do 3 or 4, 12, 14, 15 foot berms in a day.
You're dead on. I'm pushing for 4 20 footers. He thinks I can only do 3 20 footers, but I'm just kind of.
And if you could have an environmental person there, it would be in, I think, the city's best interest, you know, with someone's got some screening instruments there. And because based upon the depth that you're going to be excavating to put your pipe in, you know, you could have different characterization of the soils with increasing or decreasing depth. Some of the soil might be okay to go one place and other soil to go somewhere else. And it could be in the long run cost effective for the city to do that. And if the environmental person saw any, you know, red flags at the onset,
yeah,
you could send some samples off for pre-characterization, and you know, as you're digging it out, soil's already pre-characterized, and you know where it can go, as opposed to having a pile half as big as this room sitting around for 2 weeks while you're sampling it at situ and waiting for your samples to come back.
Yeah, that's that's good. That's a good suggestion, because we can do the soil profile of anything that they come up with between the holes. Get a good idea.
Yeah, you're more interested in structurally what I think what the ground can bear. But again, once that soil comes out, then it can only go where it can go.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to deny that fact. I'm doing the borings primarily for the structural component. And for the type of material being excavated, I'm already planning on hauling it. It's just a matter of where it gets hauled to. But I do, that's a good suggestion for this week. Because we can pick up an LSP for that. Save some time, help for the construction. I'm hoping it's not that bad. I don't know.
Okay, anything else?
Well, again, I understand that you don't need an LSP for what you're proposing to do. You need someone that's qualified to do the work. You only need an LSP if you get into a situation where what you find requires reporting to the state. And when it comes time to ship it off-site, once you have the analytical testing done, you would then need an LSP then just to sign a bill of lading to make sure that it goes to its grade with the appropriate paperwork. So you don't need an LSP at the beginning of this.
The only reason I was thinking about it is I'm going to grab one for the construction anyways.
Uh-huh.
And I'd rather pick up our own versus have the contractor pick one up, because I know we're going to need one. So what I was going to do is, there's a couple thoughts. We were going to do a test pit for the structural engineer for purposes in there. But regardless, whether I pick one up or not now, that's a good point. You don't have to have one now, but it might help. Just for the characterizing itself,
right.
I'm not going to be qualified to look at it. I can't smell as well as, you know, I'm not a hound, because I lost my sense of smell, and I'm not joking. So I can't even pick up a lot of natural gas odors that a lot of people can. So, but that's good advice. Thank you.
All set.
So we'll submit the full NOI.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is Jim House, 10 Julia Street, Amendment to Determination of Applicability. Do we have anybody here for that? Say again?
That means you're starting a little bit.
Yes. Yes, it does. So I guess we're on our own for this one. No one's here to discuss it. So what to folks have any opinions on this?
Just throwing something to the roof, right? It's not that nothing outside of the current footprint.
That would appear to be it.
But they're, are they making the roof taller than the roof? That wasn't clear whether they're just rebuilding or what.
Provides adequate slope and structure, so there's.
It
sounds as though it may change the pitch.
Right.
Oh yeah, it looks like on the existing conditions, you see it does extend it taller. Yeah, the looks like there's a wall and ridge.
Oh yeah, six feet three. Yeah, 6 feet 3 inch addition. Yeah, they had an RDA already approved.
Okay, so.
And that one was, there's an RDA that they were just recycling, basically reciting and windows.
Right. So nothing's going on except roofs being,
Right. So I would expect there's a lot more equipment out there. And so. Motion?
I'll move to amend it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next item is Mary Rimmer, 10 Jefferson Court, request for minor modification.
This is a pretty simple request for a modification to an order of conditions that was issued this past fall. For a garage addition accessory to a single family home. None of the work has been done, but in planning for the project, they realized that in order to have enough room for the cars to park off of the road, it's really tight right in here on Jefferson Court. They want to move the garage back 6 feet and to make it flush with the front of the house. The original plan looked like this, with the garage bumped out in the front of the house, so they're going to slide it back a little bit and increase the depth of the garage by 2 feet. It was a 20 by 21 garage originally, and they proposed 21 by 22. So there's a small amount of more work within the riverfront area, but you can see that there's, you know, it's no closer to the river than the existing dwelling. Just kind of tucked in behind the back stairs there. And that's all there is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any further questions? Motion?
Motion to accept this as a minor modification. Accept this as the new plan of record.
Second.
All fair?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And the one thing we didn't do was the Colby Farm update. And anybody who was paying any attention the past couple of weeks knows that City Council approved the $275,000 transfer to purchase lot number 8. And they approved a community preservation committee item for $100,000 for lot 1 for 2 years. So if it isn't used after 2 years, then it goes back into the
lot 1 is the big
one in back. Yeah.
What about all those other little parcels?
So now we have 8, which is the it's like the easternmost one.
It connects to lot 1, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, it goes up to lot 1. That's the westernmost lot. And I think it was discussed at the I think Planning and Development Subcommittee before the meeting last week, that I think the priority is now to try and get lot 7, which is right next to lot 8 there along Low Street. So basically get the 2 lots on Low Street and lot 1 in the back. Those would be the
I guess the one question I have is, and I had it before and no one seemed to be able to answer, is anybody actually from the city, you know, been talking to the developer about the other property?
Yes.
Okay, so that's been happening.
Andy has been, I believe he's been talking to the developer or the owners. He's supposed to be doing that. He has had discussions with Trust for Public Land, who seem interested in assisting us to get the other parcels. However, they do that. And there's some other things that I guess have been happening, you know, whether they can assist us in bridge loans or whatever.
They do it like make legislation, like making sausage. It's not pretty.
No.
But it works sometimes.
Right.
So, do you have to wait for someone to buy the land?
Apparently, if it's not on the market, if there's no agreement from anyone else, then the first refusal hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Respect to the other properties. You can just cut whatever deal you can cut with the owner or the developer.
One apparent sticky point with lot 7 is it's like 55% or 60% first right of refusal property. But because when the lots were created, it basically bisected that lot. That line basically bisected that lot. So whether that plays into it, I'm not sure how that works, whether we have first right of refusal on 60% of it and not on the other part of it. I don't know how that works, but apparently the city city attorney said, it isn't all 61A. So I don't know how that works. But I think there's a desire to get that lot too. So having that frontage would be very nice, because those are the only 2 lots that anybody had any interest in, those 2 for the frontage. The other ones are all residential lots, and 7 and 8 make up the vast majority of the viewscape there. So.
Good.
So, it was, didn't look like we had any money for it a month and a half ago, but all of a sudden we did.
Good.
So, anybody have anything else? I don't.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
So I'll contact the planning office. Because I'm seeing